I think the judge is a shithead.
What are we going to do?
Oh, well, that's a different question. And I'm not wise enough to come up with the answer for that.
Doesn't that sound exactly like you, Max, last week on the prediction show?
Me?
Yes, it does.
Throwing
holy
shit
cow
against the wall?
Podcast and record contends that there's too many guns and it's a problem.
When they stop the drum machine and I can think of him, I remember what it was.
Welcome to Catlin Screaming Argonauts. I'm T Fat P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Dragonfly.
And I'm Manhattan Man.
Dragonfly, wow! Sounds like a game, online game or something.
It's the wine that I'm drinking. I always try to get the wine, the little Montezuma plug in there at some point.
Right. I guess that would make me Blue Canary Cream Ale then tonight.
All right.
And excellent. That makes me Labatt Blue.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. This is Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Today is Monday, January 24th, 2011. This is episode 171. No, 172.
172.
That's a lot of podcasts.
That's a hell of a lot of podcasts. Well, listen, I would like to start off with a semi-interesting kind of updatey sort of thing. Last week we did our prediction show.
Yep.
And while I was researching some stuff for the prediction show, I came across something that I found absolutely fascinating, and I wanted to share it with you guys. Now, Manhattan Man, you weren't here for our prediction show. But what I read was an article about Thomas Edison. In 1911, the Miami Metropolis newspaper published a list of predictions that Thomas Edison made for them for the year 2011. I thought that it was spooky.
Really?
And interesting. Now, I have the article here, and I just want to read a few of the things.
Let me get this. The Miami paper asked Edison
to make some predictions 100 years from now.
100 years from now.
And he wrote them a letter, and they published the letter.
And apropos of our predictions theme, I mean, it is – you know, January, and we just did a predictions review. Now we're doing Thomas Edison's predictions from 100 years ago.
Right. He published it. It was published on June 23rd, 1911.
So we're not quite at the 100-year mark.
Right. But close enough.
I think so.
I would say.
All right. So this is what he said. Okay. Number one, he says that the steam engine is emitting its last gasps. A century hence, it will be as remote as antiquity as the lumbering coach. In the year 2011, such railroad trains as survive will be driven at incredible speeds by electricity.
Yep.
Absolutely true.
Which, I mean, the Acela and all those up and down the Northeast Corridor?
Right.
It was real interesting.
But Amtrak canceled New York to Albany.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, I used to get drunk on that run to my sister's house.
Well, there we go. All right, number two on his list of things, he said, travelers in the future will fly through the air swifter than any swallow at the speed of over 200 miles an hour in colossal machines, enabling you to have breakfast in London and lunch in the United States.
Wow. So, all right, so when was Kitty Hawk? 1903, right?
1903, yeah, but I mean, commercial air flight was until the 30s or 40s. So that was still 30 years.
So he had a little bit of an inkling, but not a lot.
Right.
Now, this next one is the one I found the most interesting. The house of the next century will be furnished from basement to attic with steel at a sixth of the present cost. Of steel so light that it will be easy to move a sideboard as it is to lift a chair.
He's predicting aluminum.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's all right.
No.
Alva.
Now, and next, and the one after that is even more incredible. Books in the coming century will be printed on leaves of nickel, so light so that the reader can enjoy an entire small library in a single volume.
How many he's on? He's like all over the Kindle and the
it's
Nook.
It's
awesome.
A book 2 inches thick will contain 40,000 pages, the equivalent of 100 volumes, 6 inches in aggregate thickness. And each volume would lay less than a pound.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
He was...
Now, he also said that gold will be worthless.
Uh-oh.
He had a thing about metals. He was clearly thinking about metals.
He thought that we would discover the secret of transmuting metals, which would make all metals the same, and so gold would no longer hold its special value.
Hey, the guy's got like three things and you know?
Yeah. So I thought it was a fascinating article.
It was my big finish. I like it too.
I'm sorry.
I thought, Penguin, if you send me the link, I could check it on my Nook later.
Oh, there you go. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
It is pretty interesting. And he did get some stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was amazingly accurate. The aluminum thing was the one I thought was the spookiest.
Yeah, I didn't see aluminum in it. When he said steel, I took it as meaning steel.
Right, but he said steel at 1/6 the price and light, although just as strong. And that was what made me think he's talking about aluminum.
That's bad. I mean, how do you know somebody's going to, you know, do an alloy?
Right.
That thinking is so out there.
And he said that, you know, a guy will sit in a steel chair at a steel table. You'll have steel beds, and you'll have, you know,
rock your baby stuff. In a steel.
Yes. He predicted the food court.
But he also said, in magical days to come, there's no reason why our great liner should not be of solid gold from stem to stern. Golden taxicabs and you know, and steel furniture.
Well, you know, the New York cabs are yellow.
Yeah.
Thomas Edison channeling his inner Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, he had this whole idea about changing metals. You know, he was convinced that
he was.
Well, and see, that's why, I don't know, I just can't be as enthusiastic about this. Transmutation?
Come on, he made a freaking filament glow. That's pretty close, right?
Yeah, but he threw so much shit against the wall, and he had so many people working for him that he was bound to come
and doesn't up. Doesn't that sound exactly like you, Max, last week on the prediction show?
Me?
Yes, it does.
Throwing
Holy
shit
cow.
Against the wall? Yeah.
He's going to denigrate Thomas Edison. What was the quote? He tried 2,000 ways to make a light bulb, and he said, "I didn't fail 2,000 times. I don't know.
I succeeded once. Yeah. My guy is Tesla. I like Tesla.
Well, if Tesla writes about what you will see 100 years from now, and you know he's accurate as this, then that's good. But I thought this was outstanding.
You know what? When they turn on the lights in Empire State Building, it's not Con Tesla. You know what I'm saying? I rest my case.
All right.
So anyway, that's the Thomas Edison sort of update.
All right. I have a sad and little update that I have to give us here at this point, Penguin.
Okay, that's
Matt
great.
Hatman,
I love sad and depressing things.
You probably didn't hear this story, but we were doing News of the Weird at the end of one of the recent shows. And we talked about this guy who got in an argument with this other guy. He was an old guy that you know, was manicuring his lawn. And the young guy's dog pooped on the lawn. And they got into a screaming match. And the old guy pulled out a gun. And the young guy said, "You're not going to use that. Go ahead, shoot me. I dare you."
Oh, no. Tell me. Oh, he popped him.
So he killed him.
All right.
Well, here's the update. Charles Clements, 69, appeared in this space 2 months ago. According to witnesses, the victim was displaying a macho bravado just before the shooting, but Clements admitted that he was not under attack when he fired. On December 29th, a judge in a Chicago suburb rejected requests for a 20-year sentence and ordered Clements to serve only 4 months out of jail on probation.
Wow. That's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had to bring it in because it's an update, and we love updates on this show.
Yeah. So do you think that the judge was seeing it as the old man was feeling threatened and that's why he did it?
I think the judge is a shithead.
Uh-huh. Well, that could be too.
That's what I think.
Wouldn't be the first judge that we've run into that we thought is a shithead, right?
Right. And Clements admitted he was not under attack.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty.
He was some punk-ass kid who said, go ahead, you know.
Make my death.
Yeah.
And he blasted him.
He blasted him.
All right, so could I take this a step further and ask you two your point of view? There's a story from upstate, and this guy is in a suburban single-family dwelling. He's at a party, and he clearly gets just polluted because...
Because he's in a suburban single-family dwelling, and he's upstate.
Well, there's a party going on a Saturday night in the house, and the guy's wife has gone already to with all the women to the baby shower. Now everybody's gone back to whoever, Phil's house, right? And they're partying. And this guy, who's, you know, I want to say mid-30s at most, at oldest, leaves the house,
yeah.
Okay? X number of minutes later, he's dead. Okay, because he goes out, climbs the fence of the house next door, opens the gate to the deck, goes up on the deck, and the sliding doors to the dining room are not locked. So he opens the door and he comes in the house. So now we're in house two. The wife and the husband in house two and the dog all sleep up in the master. Mm-hmm. And the dog jumps up in the bed and goes woof, 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 woof. And the guy's like, okay, Jack, okay, right? So he goes downstairs. Now, this guy has a shotgun in the bedroom closet for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the guy goes downstairs. He just goes downstairs, and he checks the kitchen. He checks the living room, and it's like nobody there. So he goes back upstairs. But almost immediately, the guy, like, knocks down a chair in the dining room. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the guy who owns house two takes out his gun, and he's at the top of the stairs. And he's screaming, and he's like, get out of my house, identify yourself, get out of here,
yeah.
Right? And down at the bottom of the stairs, he sees a guy looking up at him.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you take one more step, I'm going to shoot you. And he says, I have a gun, which I guess is like a pivotal phrase here, right? So the guy puts his foot on the first riser. This is all according to the shooter, right?
Right.
So he kills him, right?
Right.
And there's the massive uproar. It's like the guy was an award-winning teacher and has a beautiful wife, and how could you do this? And guns, 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 and everything like that. So I'm stopping right there. Your comments, gentlemen.
I'm sorry. If you're in my house and I say, if you take another step, I'll shoot you, assuming the facts in evidence, not guilty walks away scot-free and should.
Yeah, I disagree with that. And maybe this is the liberal versus conservative bias coming out. But, you know, my own personal opinion is that we have way, way too much of a gun culture. And we react and we respond by pulling guns out and threatening. And, you know, it's just – it's scary because there's a lot of crazy people out there. I mean, I heard a story that –
and one of them was in this guy's house.
Yeah, but you don't know that, but he wasn't, yeah.
He was just toasted. He was just so pasted that he couldn't even get it together to go, I'm really pasted. And the guy said that. The guy said, if he says, I'm drunk, or he says, let me crash on the couch, or anything, he's alive.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. I was going to bring another story up, and I'm going to bring it up now, okay, just because it kind of fits in. All right, and it just kind of talks about what it does. It talks about that whole gun culture. On January 6th in Millard High School in Omaha, Nebraska, a 17-year-old kid who was a student at the school pulled the gun and shot the principal and the vice principal, all right?
Mm.
He killed – He killed the assistant principal. He wounded the principal, okay? This last week, the senator from that district, the state senator, introduced a bill to allow staff and faculty to carry concealed handguns in kindergarten to 12th grade schools.
Oh.
That is not the answer.
Well, I agree.
Now you have maybe a kid coming in with a gun, and you have a teacher engaged in a gunfight at the OK Corral, and people are going to get wounded and killed all over the place, and you feel better because of that?
Well,
I'm sorry. It's a gun culture, and it sucks.
Who are you talking to? You're putting an awful lot of words in somebody's mouth.
Those are my words.
All right.
Those are my words. You know, it's a gun culture, and it sucks.
I agree with you that it's a gun culture, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have schools where you got to walk, the students have to walk through a metal detector.
Absolutely, and that would certainly have been a better.
And so what you're suggesting is, I got a better answer.
Just
give all the teachers guns.
Right.
Well, and some people, not me, believe that more guns make you safer. There was
Max, you and I talked just recently about the fact that isn't it interesting that the states with the least gun laws have the most murders?
Isn't it interesting that the states with the most guns have the most murders?
Right. Right.
And that there's a direct statistical correlation between the proximity to guns and murders.
Absolutely.
And it always makes me think of Archie Bunker in that clip from All in the Family where he's talking to his daughter and he goes, "Would you rather they was pushed out of windows, little girl?" But I don't hold that. To me, we are, and I have never been concerned about the conservative revolution. I think it's a passing phase. Up until this point, where this wild-eyed libertarianism is taking over, there was a news story out of Elmira where Chemung County passed a law that said you're not allowed to bring a gun into a public building. And they showed interviews with men on the street, women on the street, and some of the people said, why not? If I can legally own a gun, why can't I take it anywhere?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Well, it's like those guys who take it to church. Why would you do that?
Why would you bring a gun to church? Why would you bring a gun into a bar?
I'll tell you what, because somewhere the guy Wikipedia read that 97% of the gun deaths happen within 5 miles of home. And he says, just going down to St. Luke's, bring in my heater. No, I'm serious. And what was the law? Unless the church specifically posts a sign that says you can't bring your gun in, it's legal to bring your gun in.
Right.
Right?
And I read an interesting story about the shooting in Tucson. And I have no way of verifying this, so I will only say it as possibly apocryphal, and I have no way to prove it one way or another. But I read a story that said that when the gunman who shot the politician was knocked to the ground, all right, when he was being held there, there was a man who was doing part of the holding who had a concealed gun permit.
I watched him being interviewed on the Ed Schultz show.
And did he not say that he almost shot the wrong guy?
Yes. He was right there.
He said, I grabbed the gun out of the guy's hand. I was prepared to kill him if I had to. And when I wrenched it out of his hand, he said, no, it's not me. I took it away from him.
Right.
And he was fully prepared to shoot the man who had the gun in his hand who was saving everybody.
And I think that is that gun culture idea. And that's a shame.
To me, it's obvious. If everybody has a gun, everybody is less safe.
Right.
But
and, you know,
that doesn't
and I'm not
change
advocating...
my answer about someone illegally entering my house, and I got a gun, and I shoot him after I tell him to get out of the house and don't come any closer. If he's walking towards me, and I have a gun, and I shoot him, I'm not guilty.
Let me tell you a story. All right. I had a friend who was driving his car on Long Island, heading out to his home in Babylon. And he got pulled over by a cop. Now, my friend had a beard and long hair.
Yeah.
And he was not speeding. And the cop pulled him over.
They don't like hippies.
He asked the cop, "Why did you stop me?" And the cop said, "Because you have a taillight broken." And my friend said, "I don't have a taillight broken. I just checked the car." And the cop went to the back of the car, and he took his nightstick, and he smashed the lens on the car.
Right.
And he said, "You have a broken taillight." Now, the reason I tell that story is, how do we know that the guy with the shotgun didn't hate his neighbor, blow him away, and then say, "Well, he was trespassing, so I killed him"?
Well, because
how do we know?
We don't know.
We have to make the assumption that he didn't.
Ah, and we make an assumption.
Let me finish.
Yes, all right.
That he didn't drag him into.
This is because I had a beer tonight. This is exactly why I shouldn't drink when I do the podcast. I should not podcast and drink.
It works good for me. We're making the assumption that he didn't shoot the man outside and drag him into the house, which there may have been some physical evidence to suggest.
Right. Even just having the guy in your house is not a reason to shoot him. I'm sorry. It's not. It's not a reason to shoot somebody. You want to call the cops on him? That's okay. You want to...
I'll tell you what. Hold on. The wife was on the phone with 911 and the local gendarmes at the time of the incident. He said when they realized the guy was down there and he didn't check the dining room, he said, "Call 911." And then he grabbed a shotgun and then he stood at the top of the stairs. And she was on the phone. My understanding, although I have not heard it, is that you can hear the shot on the 911.
What do you think, Matt Havman?
What do I think? I think it's a tragedy. And I'm not.
Well,
I'm
let's
not
go out on a limb.
Guy. Fuck you. A little more cranberry.
I'll stipulate to tragedy. Of course it's a tragedy. My dad knew a guy. He's dead now. A World War II vet, lived alone. His wife divorced him years earlier. He was in his 70s. Little bungalow by the river. A guy walks into his house in the middle of the night to rob him. This guy grabs the guy, pins his arm behind him, throws him out of the house and says, "You better not ever come back in here again." I think that's great. I think that's a much better way to handle it if you can do it.
You know what? I dated a peace studies major in college. And we went through these conversations at the lunch table like every other week. Well, let's say he had a knife to your throat. And she's like, "I would try and talk him out of it." And you're like, you know, it's as pedantic as me saying it's a tragedy. We really should talk our way out of it. We really shouldn't shoot first thing.
Right.
Yes, I get it. You know what? I'm fucking scared shitless. And this guy's on my stairs.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, you're dead. I'm not condoning what the guy did. But I understand why what happened.
I think it's settled law that, I mean, the old story is if somebody falls into your house while they're robbing you, then it's not guilty. If they fall outside of the house, then it's murder. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the
what? What the fuck? What? What was that?
When you shoot them, if they fall into your house, then it's trespassing and you're not allowed to do that. That sounds like a Texas law.
It's legendarily it's a Texas law that.
That's the thing about where do you bury the survivors? What is that? How far can a dog walk into the woods? Come on, is that germane to the argument at hand?
Yeah, it is because the guy was in the house, and I think it's settled law that if there's an intruder in your house, you can shoot him. I just think it's settled. I, whether or not it's good is a different question.
Absolutely a gun culture, and it's crazy. I mean, and you know, they point to the statistics in Great Britain all the time.
Yes.
They don't have them. They don't let them. And again, just like everything else, well, a gun lobby is awfully powerful, right?
Yeah, incredibly powerful. It's everything.
Yeah.
And
it is.
And the perception completely in fantasy land among the right-wing gun lovers is that Obama is out to take their guns away. Now, if it was me, if I were king of the world, well, I'd take away all handguns. But I would damn well take the 31-shot clips.
Well, I mean, they can't even do that. I mean,
I'm saying. So I agree with the broader point that the gun culture has gone insane. But,
well, if you agree with that, then why do you think that the guy is innocent?
Because the man was threatening him.
Yeah, see, to me, that's not a threat.
You don't get to walk into someone else's house, and you don't it's a crime, first of all. It's entering, right? He didn't break, he entered.
Correct. Right.
And you're not allowed to do that. And the homeowner has a right to feel threatened if someone is in his house, first of all, and then he tells him to leave, and he tells him he's going to shoot him. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying legally the homeowner is on solid ground. I don't think that's going out on a limb.
Mm.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess I'm only half asking what you think of the legality of the situation, or should the guy be locked up or whatever. I'm asking, what are we going to do?
Oh, well, that's a different question. And I'm not wise enough to come up with the answer for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, to be perfectly frank, I'm not sure that there is an answer.
You're not even vaguely frank.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. You're not going to ban guns.
You're a little bit.
You're not going to.
You're marginally Hugh. You're slightly Albert, but you're not perfectly Frank. You're nothing like Frank at all.
It's just not. It's not going to happen. I mean,
well,
you
I wish
know.
It would. I
do too. Yeah,
I'm definitely in favor of getting rid of some of these guns and.
I think assault rifles should be banned.
I think it begs the question, the right to keep and bear arms gets you, all right, where do we stop? A shotgun in your house? Sure. A handgun in your house? I don't know. An Uzi in your house? How about a 50 cal?
Right.
How about a bazooka?
Well, you know, to deal with this whole issue of feeling threatened, I read a blog post this past week that said, this girl that was killed in Tucson was not the only 9-year-old to die in Tucson in the last year. The point of the article was the fact that there was a Hispanic girl, 9-year-old, who was killed in Tucson recently because there were a group of people who set themselves up as, you know, for lack of a better word, Avengers. In Tucson, looking for drug dealers and illegal aliens, and they got a tip that there was a family of illegal aliens, and they broke into the house, and in the scuffle, they shot the father and killed the daughter. Now, they were feeling threatened. That was their argument. They felt threatened by this drug culture in their community. You know, the fact is that gun culture is what killed that girl. That people feel that it's okay to carry those guns around all the time, all the places, and to do stuff like that. And I just have lots and lots of issues with that.
I agree. And in deference to Max, I think we can just hit it and go, hey, the podcast of record contends that there's too many guns and it's a problem.
You're opposite me of my primitive ancestry. Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness.